Hi and welcome to the latest and greatest of the Modern Honest Dating Podcast. In this episode, I'm going to answer three questions that are very similar, very unique, I guess, but also quite on the same pathway. So, long story short, on my Facebook page, before recording this podcast, I announced a question. Recording a new podcast in the next hour. What's a topic or question you want answered? With some exclamation marks and question marks. And so I got the first three responses. I thought that they would be actually really good for me to kind of combine into one thing. This is about emotions. This is about relationships. This is about people pushing things away. This is about self-esteem. This is about the past affecting the future. These are all these things that I find are very quite... Still, these situations are quite unique. But... I'm sure you might find a part of yourself in there. You might notice maybe there's a situation you've been in that's similar. And if there you have been, what I want you to do is email me at harvey@gethimhooked.com. And let's hear some truths. Let's hear some other people's stories. Let's show everyone that the world is a bit smaller. Because that's what I always love about, you know, for example, every time I do a webinar or I do a group thing or, you know, even on my VIP group. Anyone who's part of like the Harvey Hook tribe, so to speak, is that you kind of realize that the world is a little bit smaller than you realize, and a lot of people's problems, they're quite shared. So there's a reason why I'm doing this podcast, is because I want to see, and I want, with you specifically, maybe some of these ideas will resonate with you. Maybe some of them won't, but if they don't, that's okay, and if they do, then that's also okay. It's basically just about healing the world. Let's make this place a better place for people. So we can just fucking get together and have a great time. So first comment was Angel Liebman, who says, "How do I stop emotionally pushing my romantic relationships away?" Ooh, very good question. Sheila Santiago. Santiago. It means... Well, you know what it means. She wrote a bit of a paragraph. She wrote, "I have a topic, self-esteem. I have a friend that I think is gorgeous and so kind and really the best of men. I told him these things because I like him and wanted more than a friendship." That's really good that you pointed that out and that you own that, first of all. "But he says that he doesn't feel attractive or understand how anyone else could think he was either. So there's this barrier and I never feel that I'll get past. We also live in a few thousand miles away from each other. So there's a bit of that for me. But that's a non-issue because I can fly anytime. If I felt he actually wanted me there, of course. Can a man feeling unattractive really keep a man from exploring something if a woman already finds him attractive and told him so? I don't know if I should stick around or run away, run the risk of getting even more attached as my affections grow daily, or even give up hopes of him giving this a chance and just walk away." Very interesting question. Basically, to summarize that, there's someone you're interested, you're like, "Damn, you're hot." He's like, "Damn, I don't believe you." And yeah, that can be a bit of a trouble situation. And Natalie Jane says, "How do I stop issues from your past affecting the future?" Now, I'm going to answer these questions in turn, and you're going to notice that there's similar trends to these things. So, first of all, how do I stop emotionally pushing my romantic relationships away? Well, 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 well. I want to throw this out there, and I think I've talked about this in past podcasts. If you're pushing people away, there's a fucking reason. You know, don't stop yourself from pushing the romantic issues away. Without me there as a coach, for example, the best thing you can do is to observe why you're pushing them away. So instead of trying to stop yourself from pushing romantic relationships away, come to recognize that your body and your mind is this perfect problem-solving machine. That there's a reason why you're pushing them away. And some of the times, it's actually like, if you own the fact that you push people away, like, just fucking own it, like, allow yourself to do it, you'll actually realize the truth. So, for example, like, this is, I know you, Angel, as well. Like, we've been chatting, you know, she messages me on Facebook, things like that. I fucking know you. But the truth is, right, so if you say, how do I emotionally stop pushing my romantic relationships away? Look, there's two sides of the coin. So there's one side of the coin where there's probably a reason, right? So there's probably a reason that maybe you're not connecting with them. Maybe your body's afraid. Maybe they're just not good enough, so to speak. Like, maybe you're looking for something there and you're just not aware of it. On the other side of the coin, it could be, you know, there's like, oh, okay, you're actually probably self-sabotaging. But I want to throw this out there. As I said before, there's probably a reason why you're doing this. And it's observing this reason, like looking and respecting this reason, that maybe if you're afraid, there's something else you have to deal with before being with that particular kind of person. Now, it's not to be that all those kinds of relationships, like, you know, it's not that you're pushing away all those kinds of relationships. It could just be this one specific situation or feeling, you know. So to simply label that you're pushing all your romantic relationships away is a complete fallacy. Because truth be told, you're probably not, you know, and there's probably some guys who are quite interested in you and you're not just interested in them, you know. So this is the idea of sensory acuity, that just with everything, we want to start to actually realize that there's more than one category of things. So if you're saying, I'm pushing all my romantic relationships away, you know, that doesn't accurately describe every situation, you know. For that, I'd be like, really? All of your romantic relationships? So it's quite interesting because, you know, it's we have to make these more nuanced distinctions. That's maybe you're not pushing all romantic relationships away. Maybe you're only pushing certain kinds, or maybe you're only pushing certain emotions away. And that's the most interesting thing. So if you come to observe these things, if you come to observe that maybe there's a certain kind or certain quality or a certain emotion that you're pushing away, not the relationship, then you can deal with that. That's the most important thing to deal with. Because truth be told, you know, like I say about sex, right? Sex is not the message, it's the medium. It's that same thing. That relationships are, in some sense, not the message, they are the medium. They're the medium for self-exploration. There's the medium of sharing. There's a medium of love. There's a medium of passion. There's a medium of growth. You know, the universal law of relationships is that we get into relationships because of how they make us feel. So if you're romantically, if you're pushing certain feelings away, that's the key there. It's not that you're pushing romantic relationships away. It's maybe you're pushing certain emotions away. And you know, you can always say, it's me. You know, you can always blame yourself. You can always say that it's me, it's my problem, that I'm the one pushing all these perfectly good situations away. But have you ever thought that if you dive deeper into the emotion, it could just be that a part of you just doesn't agree with it? Or a part of you is actually afraid and there's something you have to deal with first? And there's a reason why you're doing this. And to label it as just pushing it away, like, devalues the situation. So let's have a look at some of the situations. So one situation might be that you're afraid of an emotion. If that's the case, one of the best things you can do is actually try and go ahead with it. You know, you recognize the fact that you're pushing yourself away, the person away, because of the emotion that they're providing. You know, it might be love, it might be affection, it just might be that it's a bit scary. You know, it's a bit scary, that kind of stuff. But alternatively, you know, if that's the case, it might be the fact that you actually have to put yourself in that situation. You know, that's a blessing in disguise sometimes, where you have to actually, like, consistently seek out these things. You know, that's a element of growth right there. The other side of the coin is maybe you're just not actually attracted to that person and you think you should be. Or here's the fucking clincher that a lot of people don't realize. Maybe you're not fully attracted to that person. And the reason why you're pushing that person away is because literally a part of you isn't fully in alignment. That you want that person. And this is what creates cognitive dissonance, where your body is like, ooh, baby, I like this person. And the other part of your body is, ooh, baby, I don't like this person. And pardon my terrible accents. I don't know. I'm a product of the internet. So if you look at these things, again, as I said before, to label it as you're pushing your romantic relationships away devalues the situation. And I'm going to say this 1,000 times because repetition is the mother of all skill or something like that. So if you look at it, right, if you're not fully attracted to the person, There's a fucking reason, because your relationship is not making it the, it's not growing its most organic way. So like a tree, so think of a tree, right? Think of a glorious tree. A tree, when left in its most natural state, will literally grow to its maximum potential, and its roots will grow as deep as it physically can. Sometimes relationships are the same way. But then we label it. We label things like, oh, but I'm pushing people away. And then that stifles the tree. That puts the tree in some shade. Maybe that gives the tree less water. You know, those little things reduce the effects that the actual relationship has, or the growth that it can have. So there's a chance here, and I'm feeling this when I'm talking to you, Angel, because you know, especially with you, I feel these situations with you, you know, when we're talking one-on-one about these kinds of things. And it's like, maybe you're pushing this person away because their role in your life, or their role right now, because that's a little asterisk, the right now part, isn't necessarily right. Maybe you're pushing them away because they actually haven't won, maybe they haven't proved themselves to you, maybe you're not fully attracted to them, or maybe your relationship, the style you're trying to produce, isn't the right kind. And so you're pushing them away. Your body is telling you, I've got to reevaluate this thing. I've got to reevaluate what it's like to be with this person. I've got to reevaluate what I want. You know, that's what people forget, is they say, why am I not going to the gym? You know, they sign up. It's like New Year's Day, you know, or day after. They sign up to the gym and they're like, oh my God, I will now go to the gym. And so they do. For a week or a month or whatever, or 2 months. And then they stop. Because that momentary inspiration, that momentary drive has fulfilled its purpose. And that's sometimes what relationships are like. I'm just saying, hint, hint. You know, the measurement of, say, it's because you, maybe it's because the relationship served its purpose in your life. That's a thing also. We don't want to judge it. We just want to respect it. But, you know, it's the thing with the gym. The people who are the ones who go to the gym are the ones who have a higher purpose, a feeling, a sense, a thing that they're chasing. For example, the other day I woke up and decided I'm going to be a buff old man. And that, I went to the gym today, like, I was just like, this is my goal. You know, I'd stopped going for a month, for example, a month or 2 months, because I was just like, I was pushing that away, right? And that's what happens. That's what happens with people, is that sometimes we push people away because we actually have to reevaluate it, or we have to reevaluate ourselves, we have to reevaluate our feelings. And so to label it that I am the fault here, that I am pushing all my romantic relationships away, first of all, that assumes that you fucking know what's going on in your body and what your body and mind thinks, because, you know, truth be told, how much control do we actually have? Not that much, some people would say. So it's like, that's a big thing. And so it's not bad to push people away, because maybe you need to push people away so you can come back to them. Maybe you need to push people away so you can feel how they react to you. Maybe you need to push people away because you can understand how you feel. Or maybe you're pushing people away because you don't actually connect with them and you need to feel what it's like to not be with them. These are the things that happen. And to label it as, I'm really fucking pounding the fucking label here, right? To label it as, I'm pushing my romantic relationships away. What that does is that actually perpetuates that process. That stifles it. It pauses it. It makes it go for a lot longer than it fucking should. So what I'm going to suggest here is, if you think, if you're someone else who's outside of Angel as well, if you're not Angel, feel which answer is the one that resonates with you both. Because chances are, if I've said something and it's fucking hit home, there's a fucking truth in there. So first one, if you're afraid, one of the best solutions is to try and do it anyway, because that's going to give you the most growth. Or two, if you feel like there's a reason why you're pushing them away, let yourself do it and just observe it. Just observe it. Like, for example, one thing I'm doing privately, I'm currently working on my book, and I'm working on the outer love section, like how we interact with people. I'm going from the very start, like boy meets girl, girl meets boy, whatever, girl meets girl, boy meets boy. And I got up to the section where I was like, chapter two, where I call it, hello, you know, that awkward, how do you say hello and stuff like that? And so one of the crazy fucking things I'm doing is, you know, I've always been that kind of guy. This is some back history on me. I've always been that kind of guy where I fucking have these gusto. You know, I'm just like, if I go out, I want to meet people. I force myself in that situation. I fucking make it happen. And I never gave myself a chance to experience all those negative emotions that I had. So now, as part of my research, is I'm going out at least once a week by myself just to allow my body to do whatever it needs to do and to feel those emotions that I never allowed myself to feel. You know, that sense of fear, that sense of anxiety, that sense of, oh my God, I'm alone in a fucking bar by myself, things like that. Just so I can, that's my market research right there for my own book. Because I want to dive deep into it. So these meditation practices that I give to people, I'm actually meditating while I'm there. I'm not fucking weirdo, but, you know, these are the things I do for you people, you know. Chances are, if you like listening to me, it's because I'm a bit weird, but maybe you're a bit weird yourself. Now, Sheila Santiago, hopefully I'm saying your name right. You know, let's jump onto her question, right? So she says, you know, this guy, it's a long distance relationship. She really likes him. She needs him to feel attractive. Look, here's the truth. You gotta keep people accountable. You gotta fucking tell him the truth. And I know what you're feeling here. The truth here is, I think you're attractive. Yes or no? I think you're attractive. I want to get to know you. I want a relationship with you. I like you. I'd like to get to know you a bit more. Right? Again, this is step one, raw honesty. This is the first podcast that we did. You know, I want to get to know you. If you don't think you're attractive, who fucking cares? You don't have to think you're attractive to be attractive. Basically, what I'm suggesting here is you actually have to disarm his negative feelings here. So this is what we refer to as out of love, like how to express it. Now, obviously, the best way to truly heal someone, the best way to truly get someone past their own issues is to have had gone through it yourself, because that way, in a fucking moment, like a, you can actually be able to call them out on that bullshit. So the reason why I can give you something very clear and something to say is because, truth be told, I used to be that guy. And I can tell you the thought processes on how to get him out of it. So, look, he might not feel that he's super attractive or whatever, things like that. That fucking might get in the way, or it might be an excuse. You know, maybe he's just not that into you. So there's two answers here. So the first thing is, basically, what I'd suggest you to do is to go all out here. Because you've spent enough time, you've kind of earned a place in his life, and that kind of stuff. You don't have to worry about the whole vibes and flirting and the dating dance and things like that. You're already fucking in his life. You're already done the work. Now it's the pulling the trigger thing. You know, so chances are you're trying to tell him he's attractive and you're not actually telling him the truth. The truth is that you like him and that you want to be more in a relationship with him. I don't know if you've said that, but it says here, I told him things like, because I like him and I want, yeah, no, you actually said that, sorry. But he says that he doesn't feel attractive or understand how anyone else either. So you can tell him, so what? So fucking what? And I say this because it's fucking the truth. You don't think you're attractive, so what? You are attractive. Say to him that. It's like, well, I'm an example. Now, here's the key. To this language, you have to, like, press buttons. You have to be willing to jolt someone. You know, this is one of my four amazing, incredible, stupendous, worldwide speaking strategies. But this is what we refer to as a jolt. So a jolt is where you basically say something that is a bit confronting, a bit truthful, and a bit contrasting. So the contrasting thing here is where you actually, like, put it in a position. It's like, well, you know, do you want to, like, struggle to make yourself feel like you're attractive, or do you actually just want to be attractive in a relationship? Or, you know, like, you put that contrast. So you have to say it to him in a sense that it's very confronting, and I know this is hard for some people. But the truth be told is that most of the time when you learn this raw, honest expression, especially you've already earned it, like, Sheila, you already fucking earned it. You don't need to, like, push it more, or, like, you know, like, you don't need to flirt, or it's like, is that too much or whatever? It's like, no, it's actually the right amount. You've earned it, and this is probably what you should have been saying in the first place. So when he says, I don't feel attractive, you say, sure, you don't feel attractive, but to me, you are. Do you like me, yes or no? And that's how you get your answer if he's actually that into you. If he says stuff, oh, I don't know if I'm still not attractive or whatever, that gives you an answer that he actually does like you. If he still pushes that button, then you have to fucking break that button. Like, if he keeps pushing that button of, oh, but I'm not attractive, I don't know if I like you, whatever, it's like, no, but do you like me? Yes or no? Because he's acting like a child. And child, you give binary options. So you say that, yes or no, because he's like, yeah, I might like you, maybe, but I'm not attractive. Then you say, sure, I understand you don't feel attractive, but look at me. I'm a woman. I am attracted to you. What has it got to take for you to feel attractive? And that's when you start to find out the real reason. Because most of the time, it's not about what, it's like that's a surface level thing. He doesn't feel that attractive. If you dive deeper, if you practice what we would refer to as the five whys of maybe rejection, five whys of, in this case, five whys of feeling unattractive, be willing to ask him why five times. So it might be a simple thing like, oh, why do you feel unattractive? It's like, oh, because I never get the girl I want. It's like, oh, man. And I can tell you, if he says that and you're on your end, and it's like, if he never gets the girl he wants and you're a girl who wants him, it's going to hurt a bit. But the important thing is that you have to realize he's triggered. He's triggered. He's like a fucking broken record that doesn't can't complete the song. It just keeps skipping and looping and looping and looping and looping. It ain't mean shit about you. If he says something like, oh, I never get the girl I want, that doesn't mean anything about you. It just means that he's triggered from some past situation that's an emotional, has lodged, the emotion has lodged in his body, basically. So you ask him again. It's like, oh, so why do you think you can never get the girls you want? It's like, oh, because there's this one person that I wanted a while ago, or there's this one person I wanted now, and I never got that person. And you can say, oh, but did you never get that person? You know, you can explore this deeper. So long story short, the whole thing is, and this is why I often say this jolting thing, because that can fucking hit home like 90% of the time. But that's a very surface level thing, right? If you want to hit home harder, if you want to actually truly connect with someone at a deeper level and help them out of it, you'll notice that you actually have to go deeper. So the deeper thing here is, he might feel unattractive because of some situation that happened in the past, you know, which leads into the next question. How do you stop your issues in the past affecting your future? Some issue in the past, or some, you know, maybe there was someone he liked and he just never liked it. Or maybe he just has this particular idea of how relationships should go, which, remember, with the whole angel question about labels, you know, we want these things to happen the same way that we think they should, and therefore they don't happen that way, and then we think something's wrong with us. Now, most dating advice for men teaches them, and this is why I shifted from men to women, and this is also why I'm very selective about the guys that I teach, and this is why I'm very fucking brutal sometimes with some people who think this way. But most dating advice will teach you that if you did not get the girl as a guy, and guys, raise your hand if you agree with this, if you did not get the guy, it is not because of anything else but you. And look, there is a certain charm, there's a certain thing with taking full responsibility for things. But let's break it down for a second. If you believe that every time you don't get a girl, it is because you weren't attractive enough, you're going to develop a fucking, like, tick in your neck. You're going to be twitching every time you see a girl, because you're going to think, well, if I don't get that girl, it's because something's wrong with me. Maybe I'm a malformed person. Maybe I'm this special, unattractive snowflake. And you keep racking up reference experiences that show your brain that there is something wrong with you. Now, is it possible, just as a thought experiment, is it possible for two people to have the same experience and interpret it in two different ways? Yes, it is completely possible. So if you want to truly disarm this, if you want to truly help this dude through this situation, it is your job to find out that original reference experience, and this I'm basically teaching you how to coach, by the way, is to find that original reference experience and change the frame. Because if he says stuff like, oh, but there was this one girl, I was 15, and I liked her, and I gave her a note, and she didn't do anything about it, and therefore I am unattractive. Then your job is to say, well, you know, have you ever thought that she never actually read the note? It's like, oh, I never thought of it like that. It's like, well, then maybe. And always ask questions, by the way. Always ask questions. The person who asks the questions controls the flow of the conversation, you know? This is fucking communication, like, 105 with the Harvey Hook class. But seriously, like, yeah, you ask him that. You're like, well, have you ever thought, this is reframing, by the way, reframing 101. If you ever thought, like, that she never thought, read the letter, it's like, well, maybe. It's like, well, if she did, have you ever thought that she maybe didn't know that it was from you? It's like, yeah, I didn't put my name on it. Or, you know, you start to debunk these experiences. And like a table has legs, beliefs like I am not attractive enough have legs on it. Remove the legs, remove the reference experiences, the table collapses. That's the most beautiful thing. So then look at it this way. What happens then, this is literally coaching how to coach, by the way, like a deeper level. You take this deep, but this is like very surface level. So once that's the case, there's a vacuum. And that's where you tell him, well, I think you're attractive. Because in that moment, he's looking for something new. He's like, well, you know, I thought that I was unattractive. Now I don't know what to think. And if you were in person, that's when you kiss him. And he'll remember you for the rest of his goddamn life. That moment will change his life. Now, Natalie Jane says, how to stop issues from your past affecting your future. Which is, isn't that interesting? Didn't that tie into these questions? Well, I want to throw this out there that isn't that interesting because, well, truth be told, there's very few questions. There are always different interpretations of the same question. There's very few answers. They're always the same answer. How do you affect your past? How do you stop your issues from your past affecting your future? You realize it as it actually is. So, truth be told, you don't live in the past. You don't live in the future. You live in the fucking present. Now, what happens is we think that it's our past. We think that, oh, because I had this past situation, it was the end of the world for me, and now I will never truly find love, or I'm just talking generally here because your question's quite general. I will never find love because when I was 12, little Jimmy said no to me. You know, these little stories that we have these stories, and these stories perpetuate the emotions. Now, what actually happens is in the past, right? In the past, what happens is we get an experience or an emotion, and then that gets lodged in our body. Ooh, isn't that interesting? This still ties into Angel's question. You know, there's a reason why she's probably pushing people away. So it gets lodged in our body as an unresolved emotion. Now, this is what I refer to as a loop, a closing loop, because it's like your brain is this beautiful problem-solving machine, right? I've said this thousands of times. Your brain is a beautiful problem-solving machine that if you have a rock in your shoe and you do not, you are unaware of the rock in your shoe, an emotional rock, like little Jimmy breaking up with you, for example. What will happen is you, your brain, will go in circles trying to solve this problem. This is then when we have this emotional rock in our shoe, we then think, oh, okay, maybe if I just go to yoga classes, or maybe if I take up drinking more, or maybe I'll just do drugs, or maybe I will, you know, try running, or maybe instead of walking on that foot, I'll just hop, you know. We do all of these crazy things to deal with that emotion. When truth be told, we actually need to let it run its course in the present. So it's not the past, it's you're carrying with it in the present. Now, sure, thinking of past situations can help bring out those emotions, help trigger it, bring it out, that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's always in the present. And truth be told, if you're thinking about it in the future, and truth be told, I say the word truth be told a lot, I just became very aware of that, then you think it's in the future, but it's always happening now. It's always happening quite now. This is the more spiritual side of looking at it. So how you affect your past issues affecting your future? First of all, you realize that the past is not equal to future. Second of all, you let that emotion run its course, whatever that means. So for example, with the whole angel thing, running away from people, let that happen. Observe that it happened, and the simple act of observation allows you to realize it for what it is. You know, that kind of stuff. So another way of looking at it is, how do you stop your past issues affecting your future? Also, just take a look at why you're doing it. you know, why these things happens. And I'm sure, you know, everyone always does that. We're constantly analyzing and self-scrutinizing and things like that. But the reason why it still affects our future, by the way, is in addition to the emotion that hasn't finished its course, what actually happens is we also don't have the full piece of the puzzle. You know, we think that, oh, it's because this one tiny thing that affects us. And so it's really about going deep and understanding those situations, why that situation keeps happening. Now, if you're like me, what you'll do is you'll do a combination of meditation and throwing yourself under the bus constantly. You know, people have often said to me, I'm really harsh on myself. I'm like, well, that's how you learn. You know, I'm not afraid to not shelter myself from things, situations. And I know you, Natalie. I know you're the kind of person who will throw yourself, not under the bus, literally. But if there's something that you're having an issue with, one of the best things you can do is actually consistently try, as hard as it is, as scary as it is, but to understand that the process of you doing it is a sense of self-exploration, is a sense of you understanding those situations, is a sense of you exploring that past. You know, one day you'll wake up and you'll be like, wait a second, we were 12. Little Jimmy didn't know what he wanted. It's like, yeah, it's these things. There's a Zen Buddhist word for it, meaning Satori, which means like awakening, that kind of word. It's like that feeling of like the glasses were always on top of my head the entire time. You know, when you're looking for your glasses, they were there on your head or even on your face with some people, right? That's what that word means. And it's a very spiritual word, but it's how you look at it, where honestly, that's what happens. That act of self-exploration, that act of trying to meditate over it, let the emotion run its course. If you're angry, be angry. If you're sad, be sad. Do it in a safe space if you're worried that it'll affect your life. You know, I've built my business around me being able to explore my own emotions, being able to meditate for hours if I want to and not if I don't want to, things like that. But, you know, I understand that a lot of other people don't have that luxury, that they haven't set that up predetermined. So one of the best things you can do is find an outlet, find an understanding, find a way, but also find the emotion that's scaring you or the emotion that's affecting you, the emotion that's persisting this behavior, whatever behavior it is. And also realize the past does not equal the future. Just because you felt that way, just because this one situation happened, does not mean that the future will be that way. If we can properly heal it, that'll be better. You know, but there's one of my things that I really love and what I work with people on is, you know, everyone always like, you just got to have more willpower. You just got to have the willpower to push through. It's like, fucking bullshit. Willpower will only get you so far. What's important is you find a strong enough why, a strong enough reason to do it, a strong enough reason to get past these situations. You know, it's almost like be desperate for healing. That's one of the best things. And you'll find a reason. If you find your reason to get past it, you will naturally go down these self-explorations. Like, I can give you what to do, but if you don't have a why to do it, you know, it's going to be one of the hardest things to do because you will never actually do it. It's like people give, because the why is emotional, the what is logical. You know, it's like other people, you give other people advice, right? And you give them advice like, hey, I think you should break up with him. And then that person that you gave advice to ends up sleeping with him like 100 more times. It's because emotionally, that person didn't understand. Logically, they did. And this is what creates cognitive dissonance. So that was this modern, honest dating podcast. As of when I say, we have been recording this for 33 minutes and 20 seconds. So, as I said that, thanks so much for listening. And as always, give this podcast, if you're listening to on iTunes, give it a rating, give it 5 stars, give it 10 stars if you can, sign into friends' accounts, make them do 5 stars. Anything that we can do to get the message out, the tribe growing, the people, the influence, everything, let's fucking get this podcast to number one on iTunes of the sexuality section. Hannah Riley from Triple J with her show, she's number one there currently right now. Hannah Riley, I love you, but I'm coming for you. Let's get to number one. And as always, if you have any feedback, make sure to email me at harveygethimhooked.com. Make sure to check out, I've currently tweaked the website, which is gethimhooked.com. Make sure to follow me on Instagram at gethimhooked. Make sure to go on YouTube, which is harveyhook-gethimhooked. By the way, I think the website, maybe I'm fucking wrong, but you people who are at Facebook advertising, it's like, it's so funny, by the way. So the name Get Him Hooked, I chose it because it was so cheesy, people would remember it. But guess what? It's so cheesy that Facebook and Instagram class it as a get-rich-quick scheme, and I cannot sponsor posts until I change that. And I ain't doing that, so let's do it the old-fashioned way. And the other thing is really funny is that sometimes I get guys like, you know, I'll follow random people and they're like, hey, I like that you're following me, but can you please not comment on my stuff because I don't want anyone to think that I'm getting dating advice from a coach for women. And I say, mate, you can block me. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. Don't try and change me. Just try and love me and you can do what you're going to do. And isn't that interesting? We often say to people, I love like Taylor Swift's new song, Look What You Made Me Do, which roughly translates to, I don't have control or responsibility over my emotions, so I'm gonna blame you. Isn't that interesting that that happens? So thanks so much for listening. You've been amazing, and so have I. Together, we will be amazing, and we will birth something incredible from I'm just bullshitting now. One last thing before I go, and I always say one last thing, or as Steve Jobs said, one more thing. There's a phrase that says that the coach and the coachee, or the client and the coach, or the teacher and the student create the teaching, and that's it. You know, we are a conduit for this knowledge together. This is a two-part thing, and so without you guys, I would be nothing. Have an amazing day. If it's Saturday and you're listening to it on your Saturday, I fucking love you. Bye.